With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
King Henry was running wild last night. Should he be a part of MVP conversations through 6 weeks? Ben Simmons is at Sixers practice, but I gotta tell you, guy looks miserable. Is the Simmons situation salvageable for Philadelphia? And Knicks got a new NBA pyramid to unveil with the season starting tonight, everyone. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to First Things First. Yeah, alongside Broussard and Wilds and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. All right, Nick, you got this pyramid. How many texts and DMs are you expecting? How many gripes? How much griping are you expecting to hear from players when they see where they land?
None. Listen, guys are very self-aware in this league, and they're going to look at it and say, oh, that's perfect. That is exactly correct. And for the first time ever, Jenna, new person at the top.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but new person at the top.
The Chiefs.
Here we go. But we got to start with a little Monday Night Football. Bills, Titans, and what a night for the King, Derrick Henry. He came into this game leading the NFL in rushing despite having only played 5 games. Last night, how about 143 yards and 3 touchdowns? How about his 5th straight 100-yard rushing game? How about all that speed for a big, bruising running back? And yet somehow the Bills still had a shot to win this one late. Here we go, 4th and 1, 22 ticks left. Josh Allen slips on the quarterback sneak. And that's it. The Titans take down the Buffalo Bills. 34-31 was your final. After the game, head coach Sean McDermott on that fateful decision to go for it on 4th and 1.
Felt good about our chances. Had a chance to win the game right there, and we didn't get it done.
I love Coach McDermott for giving me that opportunity, you know, and I got to go out there and prove him right. You know, sometimes the plays don't go your ways. They get paid on that side of the ball, too.
At the end of the day, I trust him, and I'll trust him again if we're in that situation again. So, I'll take Josh Allen, as you said, Sal, 10 times out of 10. So give them the credit. They made the play they had to make when the game was on the line.
All right, Nick, I'll start with you. What'd you make of McDermott's decision there? Go for it, 4th and 1.
Well, maybe take Josh Allen 9 times out of 10 because this would be the one time you don't take him because you asked him to get 18 inches and he tripped himself. So here's the deal. That was a clearly and obviously correct play call. It was the clearly and obviously the correct decision. He understood if we kick this field goal, our fate is going to come down to a coin toss. If they won the coin toss, I believe they would have won the game. If they lost the coin toss, I know they were not stopping Derrick Henry, and Josh Allen wasn't going to get a chance to touch the ball again. So you ask yourself, do we have a better chance of picking up this first down and scoring a touchdown than we do of winning a coin toss? And the answer should be yes. The answer typically is yes. Josh Allen just blew it, much like Josh Allen blew the play before, when he had a guy wide open in the back of the end zone, but instead, maybe so inspired from his hurdle of LeJarius Sneed last week that everyone said, well, that makes him the MVP. Your hurdle to Chiefs corner. Got a guy wide open. He's off your screen now. You'll see it in the other angle. Instead, he tries to go Superman. Didn't work out. See that guy all alone in the end zone while Josh Allen is hurtling towards Earth? Yeah, should have made that play. Didn't make it. Didn't make the 4th down play. Sorry, these are the rules, guys. You have an alleged MVP. The ball's in his hand on 3rd down. The ball's in his hand on 4th down, and he doesn't come through. So, no, I don't blame the coach. They made the right decision. Their quarterback just let him down, and I don't think that is really that controversial, Broussard.
Wow. I mean, wow. I hope wow. you use better logic on your NBA player pyramids than you just did with this. Somehow, Nick, you turned this into a let me bash Josh Allen, the guy that's tugging Holy on Superman Patrick Mahomes' cape. You turned this into a bash Josh Allen segment, but it's not that. You're he wrong for doing that, and you're wrong on the, you're wrong overall because Sean McDermott was wrong. And here's why. You kicked the field goal. Sean McDermott, more than anybody else wow. knows, guess what, Nick? Here's the thing, Nick. Football is played on grass or turf. It's not played on a computer with the analytics nerds, all right? Oh. It's played on grass. And the fact is this. The Buffalo Bills are a bad red zone team. And Sean McDermott knows it as well as anybody. They were 2 for 5 last night, and we saw in the first 18 minutes they had to settle for 2 field goals in the red zone, 2 short field goals, because they couldn't punch it in. And it wasn't just last night. It's not just last night, Nick. It also, my computer's going wild. It's not last night.
Yeah, it's it your computer's telling you that's a bad season. Take.
Yeah, the computer's mad.
What are you doing? Robots are like, hey, you're coming after the analytics community. You're coming after us. We're going to take over your screen.
You can't
All right, go ahead.
All right, listen. Let me finish my take. And listen to me clearly, yeah. Nick. All right, it wasn't yeah. just last night that Buffalo couldn't deliver in the red zone. They can't deliver all season. They've gotten to the red zone 29 times. That's the most in the league, so it's a great sample size. They've converted just 55% of their red zone appearances into touchdowns. That's 26th in the league. The teams worse than them, none of them have winning records. All right, so they should have known. And then finally this. What happened on the play? Yes, Josh Allen Smith or Josh Allen slipped, but it got blown up on the left side because of the pressure of Tennessee. I wonder why. Could it be because Buffalo's Pro Bowl left tackle Taylor Lewan was injured? If he's there, maybe that doesn't happen, but he's out. So you got a second stringer that Josh Allen's trying to go behind, and you see he got destroyed. Dawkins, whoever that is. All right, so that's the problem. You're not good in the red zone overall. And secondly, your starting left tackle who you ran behind is injured. He's out. So they should have kicked the field goal. You talked about Derrick Henry. He's awesome. All right, great game. But outside of the 76-yard gallop, they held him to 67 yards on 19 carries. That's 3.5 yards a carry. In the fourth quarter, they had held him to 18 yards on 6 carries. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Henry would have just ran up and down the field on him. They had a chance to stop him, Nick. They should have kicked the field goal and played to win the game in overtime.
Broussard, I thought you were more fearless than this. The obvious move was to go for it, and it's why I like the Buffalo Bills. And I don't really like the Buffalo Bills. That's why I had you guys on upset alert. But in the Bills Mafia, I'm like Donnie Brasco. I don't really like you guys, but I have a begrudging respect after watching you. They play fearlessly, and I like it. Nick, on the other hand, is just like the straight-up cop that I have to report to. He just hates you guys for everything you are. I'm like the Donnie Brasco where it's like, I respect it. I respect the fearlessness with which they play. They did that weird Philly special thing. I liked it. I like going for this. And here's the thing, Nick. The identity of that team, everybody knows it. After the game, we heard the coach say, yep, I'm going to trust Josh Allen. Josh Allen said he liked the opportunity. The center said it was a great call. Micah Hyde said it was a heck of a call. So when everyone is sort of united, I think it's obviously the right call. I know you want to take opportunities to bash Josh Allen because you're still upset about the Jordan-esque move that he pulled. But I think it's the absolute right call. If you lose the game, okay. So be it, right call.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Can I step in quickly?
Go ahead, buddy.
Here's how fearless I am, Wilds. I'm not afraid to admit I made a mistake. Taylor Lewan plays for the Titans. All right, not the Bills. So, all right, yeah. So before Nick can say it, I'm going to say it. So I'm fearless okay. in that. Mistake still. They still okay. are not a good yeah. red zone team, and they should have kicked the field goal and lived
Lewan
to see
on
another
the Titans.
Game. Even the, with Lewan
right,
on
but
the Titans.
Listen, yes. I want to discuss something Wild said than Broussard said. First of all, Broussard, if you and I can unite on anything, we should unite on this. Wild's little smug little reminder, hey guys, who had the upset alert again. This has become Wild's go-to thing. The old upset alert. I tried to have the segment killed because I'm 0-5 on it. So I was like, guys, I don't think the upset alert segment really plays. Wild's like, I think it's great. He got this one right. I will give him credit. Broussard and my upset alerts got beat this weekend, I think, by a combined 68-9. So Wild's is very good on the upset alert. He did have the Titans. I will give him credit. What I will not allow, though, is for Broussard and Wilds to position what is an obvious take like it's anti-Josh Allen anti-Josh Allen propaganda. The ball was put in a 6'6 alleged MVP quarterback's hands. They said, can you get us 18 inches? And the answer was no. He screwed that up. What I do not like is when we prematurely elevate guys, as we have with Josh Allen, when it comes to their great moments, but then we still grade them on this curve when it comes to their bad moments. You cannot, in the same week, say Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills might be the best team in football. Josh Allen might be the league MVP. And then give him a pass when on third down, he can throw a game-winning touchdown and doesn't throw it. And on fourth down, Wilds, he doesn't get you. That's up to him to get that yard. He has to get 1 yard, and they're going to win the game. And he couldn't do it. How is that not on him?
Okay, Dak got stopped twice at fourth and goal in New England, and we didn't mention it. You know why? We blamed one on the refs. We blamed one was great Patriots defense. Nobody was out here saying, oh, Dak Prescott, you know, you got to do it. Granted, they won the game, and it wasn't at the very end of the game. But the narrative of that was great defensive play. It wasn't Dak's fault. But now it's Josh Allen's fault.
Wilds, Wilds, that comp there is, we both have children around the same age. If one of them is playing with matches and we come down, we're like, hey, stop it. And that's the end of it. And the other one's playing with matches and the house burns down. We're going to focus more on that one than the other one. Dak failed on a quarterback sneak. He then threw the game-winning touchdown pass and converted a 3rd and 25 to put him in position for the game-tying field goal. It's not the same. It's just not the same, Jenna.
So Josh would have done that had they lived to see another day in overtime. Trust me.
All right.
Great call.
Buffalo's win streak snapped. Tennessee takes the Monday nighter. We'll have much more on this game. We got LeVar Arrington joining us coming up in a little bit. Back, though, talking Seahawks, who are exploring all options with Russ sidelined. Should Seattle sign Cam Newton? Discuss that next. And coming up at 8 a.m., going to celebrate the NBA season tipping off tonight, having Nick take us through his NBA player pyramid. Nick is very detailed on these things. See if he can handle the constructive criticism that we have for him. That's ahead for some
There won't be criticism. There'll be flowers and love.
Time now for In or Out, sponsored by Midas for tires, brakes, oil, everything. Make your appointment at Midas.com. Talking some Cam Newton. Haven't heard much about Cam since he was released by the Patriots, but that changed yesterday. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll said Seattle has, in fact, touched base with the recently vaccinated Cam Newton. Seattle still without Russ while he recovers from finger surgery. Hey, Chris Broussard, you in or out on the Seahawks signing Cam Newton while Russ is sidelined?
Sorry, Cam, but I'm out on this one. Geno Smith wasn't that bad against Pittsburgh. He was okay. I know he had the fumble at the end, but that happens. TJ Watt is outstanding at causing those things. So I get that part. But Geno Smith threw for 209 yards, completed 72% of his passes, 1 touchdown, 0 picks. Now let's look at Cam Newton last year in New England. Started 15 games. 10 times Cam threw for fewer than 200 yards. Okay? Only one time did he throw for more than 1 touchdown, which Geno did in the game Sunday. 9 times Cam threw for 0 touchdowns, and only 4 times did he have a higher passer rating than the 99.6 that Geno threw up Sunday. All right, and that's in an offense that Cam had a training camp to prepare for. So So I don't think you can expect Cam Newton to just step in there out of the blue and lead your offense better than Geno Smith did. And I'm not singing Geno Smith's praises, but I don't think Cam steps in there and does a better job coming off the streets. Hopefully you get Russ back after two games. You got the Saints, Nick, who they'll probably be underdogs, but that's a winnable game. And then you got Jacksonville, who you should be able to beat even with Geno, and then hopefully Russ is back. So I'm out on it, Nick.
Listen, I like a lot of what you said. I also think Geno's done a fine job. I think Cam, by the time Cam is up to speed, Russ should be back. The biggest argument for signing Cam, if you're the Seahawks, is if you just want to like balance out in the quarterback room the level of corny. So you have like Russell Wilson, the corniest quarterback in the whole league, and then Cam, one of the coolest quarterbacks ever. It's like you could bring it to an equilibrium of like, okay, we're now at league average coolness in the quarterback room. But I'm also out on it because I don't think that's enough of a reason to bring him in. But I watched that Sunday Night Football game, and I did say one of these teams should sign Cam Newton. It's the Steelers.
Yes.
Not to start him over Big Ben. But to have him sign it, Wiles, here's what I wish they could do. I wish the Steelers could sign Cam and not tell anybody. Have it just be like, hey, we only have a 52-man roster. 53rd man is a mystery guy. He doesn't show up to practice. You just get him. He talks with the offensive coordinator, learns the playbook, and it's like, hey, we're going to have you ready for when Big Ben either gets hurt or when his arm falls off during a game, as it almost did in the Seattle game when he threw the ball directly into the ground. Because the Steelers' defense and coaching staff is good enough that they will be alive late in the year. But Big Ben is not going to be an effective quarterback late into the year. He's not an effective quarterback now. And this isn't me singing Cam's praises, but he's better than Dwayne Haskins. He's better than Mason. And so I think one of those two teams should sign him, but because I think you got to give Cam 6 weeks minimum to be ready, it doesn't make sense for the Seahawks. Wow. I think it could make sense for the Steelers, but I'm out on the Seahawks doing.
Look, I think the Steelers are the perfect match for Cam. I wanted Cam back on the Patriots. I thought that he provides great leadership, great enthusiasm, and a special sort of style of play that you don't get from a lot of guys. The one thing you're not getting, however, if we can show the graphic, it's a lot of downfield throws. And I know everyone's like ripping Josh McDaniels for some of his play calling, since we've seen it with like sort of conservative stuff with Mac Jones, conservative stuff with Cam last year. But since that injury of TJ Watt, the guy hasn't been able to throw the ball down the field. That being said, Nick, yeah, I do think Pittsburgh is the perfect spot for him for two reasons. One, he said he actually wanted to leave New England or wouldn't be a fit in New England if Mac was the starter because his aura was too powerful and would be a distraction. So you need to go behind a guy who's sort of like set in stone, not going anywhere, you know, basically has a nice layer of legacy around him so the aura can't penetrate it. Mm. And now, too, the guy got vaccinated. Everybody ripped Cam Newton for not getting vaccinated. He went on Funky Fridays, his YouTube show, and shared the whole vaccination process. And people ripped him for not being vaccinated. He deserves the opposite for being vaccinated and documenting the whole thing. I think Pittsburgh and Cam would be a perfect match.
And again, I want to be clear here. I do not think Pittsburgh is benching Ben Roethlisberger at any point this year.
No.
But I also think it's totally reasonable to say if we're ranking quarterbacks as far as likelihood of having to miss time at some point this year, Big Ben is high, high on that list. And Pittsburgh's not throwing the season away, Jenna. So I'm a realist on what Cam is as a player right now. But even as a realist, that's a higher level than Haskins or Mason has ever shown in this league.
All right, we'll see what happens. All right, let's set the NFL aside for a second. And let us talk about the NBA kicking off tonight. Time for the moment I have been waiting for most of the offseason. My breath has been bated, Nick. Nick's new NBA player pyramid season tipping off tonight. Nick breaking out his pyramid next. I promise you will not want to miss this. First things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 and use code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 at factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here we go. Knicks NBA Pyramid with the NBA's 75th season tipping off tonight. A couple of times throughout each season, Nick is going to take us through his pecking order of NBA players, like a lot of NBA players. So buckle up, strap in. We got a lot to consider, Nick. Take us there.
All right, don't show it yet, because much like if you're watching a movie and they put a warning up before the screen, if you know, there's a strobe light in the movie, and they say if you have epilepsy, they want to let you know. If you have an allergy to awesomeness and accuracy, avert your eyes, America, because what you're about to see is not for the faint of heart. Top 55 players in the league in a pyramid. Let it all wash over you for a moment. Oh, my goodness gracious. Just look
at
it.
That's perfect.
Just look. Now, thank you, Broussard. I agree. At the very bottom, you're like, is that Mike Conley? Is that Marcus Smart? It is. There's some good players there.
It is.
They barely cracked the top 55. Brandon Ingram, fans out there, I'm not one of them. I know some people would have him higher. That second to bottom row, Julius Randle. Nick, how's Julius Randle not higher? Well, unfortunately, we saw the playoffs. But he's on the pyramid, so good for him. Now, let's zoom it in and show you our top 38 guys in the league.
Okay.
That bottom row. Hey, I'm an honesty broker. Russ, I love you. You can't be any higher than that. You go a little further in that row, Simmons, Rudy, Draymond. Interesting. First two guys I mentioned there, awesome in the regular season. disasters in the playoffs. Draymond's the opposite. They're all in the same row. And LaMelo, we are buying LaMelo stock and holding it the way Wild is with his Dogecoin. Mm. LaMelo skyrocketed up from being a non-pyramid participant last year. Wow. And the row right above him. Big year for Karl Anthony Towns. Year 7. I'd like to see him have some good teammates. I'd like to see him in the postseason. We've seen him play 5 career playoff games. Okay. Klay and Kyrie are tough. We know what they are at their best. We don't know what Klay is going to be back from these last 2 injuries. And the last video we have of Kyrie playing sports was playing football on a field from yesterday. Very tough. There is not a single guy above Kyrie that team would trade that player for Kyrie. That's where he is. All right, now let's zoom in on the top 21 players in the sport. We will start on the bottom. This is why I've never totally understood the Jason Tatum. He's a superstar and he's going to win an MVP. He is not even arguably a top 15 player in the league. Excellent player. Hey, he's alongside Bradley Beal, won a scoring title. Jimmy Butler was the best player on a finals team. But that's where he is. Zion could have been higher. The foot concerns me. And Chris Middleton, listen, I'm old-fashioned. I like championships. Now we go above. The Trey Mitchell Booker. 3 guys really juiced their pyramid stock by outstanding playoff performances. AD and Chris Paul, one could argue, should be higher, but they are such... The injury concern is so real that I had to put them there. Now we get tiers 3 and 4. This was hard. Luka, Steph, Harden, Embiid, Jokic. Who gets row 3? Who gets row 4? I debated, I flipped, I flopped. I ended up saying the 2 big men, I would rather have Luka, Steph, and Harden than Embiid or Jokic. Kawhi, he's got to be in the top 4 rows. He's got to be a top 10 player. He obviously is hurt, and so hard to put him higher than that, and Dame speaks for himself. And then the very top of the pyramid. LeBron and Durant, I don't think there's much argument there that they are top 3 players in the league. The question is, who should be at the very top? And I feel like Broussard, we somehow immediately started moving past what Giannis did in the finals. And people, there's been no discussion of Giannis this offseason, no discussion of the Bucks. Let me remind America, the Bucks were down 0-2 in the finals, and Giannis did this. Forget the fact that he scored 40 in game 2, not even showing up. Game 3, a must win, 41-13-6. Game 4, his worst game of the stretch, had the game-saving block. Game 5 had the game-sealing dunk. And game 6, one of the greatest NBA Finals games of all time, for the series, averaged 35-13-5. And you have no reason to believe he's not going to be a better player this year than last year now that he has that monkey off his back. He is arguably the best defender in the league, and he just scored 50 to win the title. So he has to supplant LeBron, who's been at the top of this pyramid every edition we've ever done, as the best player in basketball. Chris Broussard, I know you take issue with the committee's tiers, but this is my pyramid. There is no committee. I don't need a group of people for this. This is my life's work.
Okay.
How you react to this is going to have an impact on our friendship moving forward. Tell me you love it. Come on. Tell me you love it.
Nick Wright. You're welcome. This warms my heart, Nick. Look, I know you think that I'm being mean when I rip your NFL tiers, but it's called tough love, buddy. All right? It is about teaching you how to rank. All right? It's not about just, let me rip Nick's tiers. Let's have some fun. It's good. No, it's about teaching you how to rank, constructive criticism. I am proud to say, young Nick, that you have learned from me. You have taken my lessons and you have bettered yourself. This pyramid, I gotta give it to you, man. It's legit. It's not perfect.
Thank you.
But it is legitimate. Oh, wow. Yeah, I hope this spills over to your NFL tiers because you've really done a good job here. Let me, there's a couple
Thank
of
you,
things.
Buddy.
I'm gonna back you up on Giannis. All right, because
that being said,
when people watch this, that's what they're, well, I'm with you on Giannis, But everybody else, as you know, Nick, is going to say, oh, KD. KD's got to be the best player in the world and all that. I've got Giannis. Look, he's a better defender than Durant. He's a better rebounder than Durant. I can argue he's a better passer than Durant. You saw those assist totals from the finals, but he's at least as good as Durant in passing. He's more dangerous in transition than Durant, and he's not as good of a shooter, obviously. That's the only thing Durant does better, but he is as good of a scorer in terms of production.
That's right.
He scores as many points, if not more, than Kevin Durant, and he does it slightly higher efficiency. So it's Giannis. You're right, Nick. People, because of the injuries last year, right, nobody really respected Phoenix that much. They thought the Clippers, if they're not injured, maybe they're there. Obviously, if the Lakers aren't injured, they're in the finals. So people kind of disrespect them. Brooklyn, of course. So that's why I think people move past what Giannis did in the finals. But I'm with you. He's number one. I don't even mind you having LeBron. I see a little secret. And now Nick won't admit this, but it really goes left to right, America. So he's got LeBron number two and Durant number three. He won't admit it, but a little birdie, a source told me that. So but LeBron, I'm not mad at that because he does more on the court than KD. So I'm not mad at you on that. Third line, I'm good with. I would change from the fourth row. I would put AD above Dame because of the defense. Now, you made a good point. Obviously, the injuries is a concern. But AD, because of his defense, I know he's coming off a subpar year, but I'm expecting him to really bounce back and play like he did 2 years ago. So I would move him ahead of Dame. Like you mentioned, Kawhi. I don't expect to see Kawhi this season. So if you take him out, obviously you can keep Dame on that level. I would, if we're going left to right, I would move Kawhi, though, if we want to keep him, ahead of Embiid and Jokic. I think Kawhi is that good. And then I get it. You're not a fan, but Kyrie Irving. I know the baggage, all he brings.
Who are we replacing?
But the boy can ball. I'm moving Kyrie if he were to play. I know he's not going to play. But I would put him ahead of Chris Middleton. And I like Chris Middleton, but I would move Kyrie up ahead of Middleton. And then going left to right, I would move Zion over a few pegs behind, like, Bradley Beal. And I'd put Paul George ahead of Zion as well.
Let me ask you, first of all,
but those are minor things.
Let me just real quick ask you a question, and then Wilds jump in. And by the way, Broussard always accuses me of this left to right thing. He hasn't been on the show as long as I have. We have a massive viewership in the Middle East, particularly Israel, and they read right to left. So you think it's a left to right reading thing? I'm just telling you, it's just top to bottom, my friend. But let me ask you this. Let's say the vaccine issue never existed, okay? Would the Bucks trade Chris Middleton for Kyrie? I say no.
No.
If this offseason...
No, right. Because...
I don't think
Kyrie's got more baggage, but it's baggage. It's not his game. It's his baggage. Would you admit that?
Yeah, but that's
just
part of it.
Just strictly game.
Yes, but I think that's part of it. Yes.
That's fair.
But I'm incorporating it's that fair. Into it. Take the vaccine issue out of it, Wilds. The baggage with Kyrie has to impact his ranking. The fact that he took a two-week sabbatical last year, the fact that he seems to wear on teammates. Meanwhile, Chris Middleton is like the perfect personality for a number two option.
Totally
I just think
maintenance.
That,
right.
To me, I did factor that into the rankings. Go ahead, Wilds.
Yeah, that
that's fair.
No, that has to be a part of it. I want to talk about guys who's rising and falling stock. Because my guys, little run TMB, Trey, Mitchell, and Booker. I was like, ooh, I'm going to try to move them up on this pyramid. And I got to knock somebody off. I couldn't knock anybody off. You've got champions, you've got MVPs, you got Embiid who was in the MVP conversation. I tried to look at Dame's number. I'm like, maybe Donovan's better than Dame. He's not. The only thing I could try to make an argument for is that all three of those guys have had deep playoff runs. And they're one of the rules of this show is do not make fun of anybody's family members at all. But your guy, Luka, hasn't. I know he's put up big numbers. You're going to say he did this in the playoffs. He did this. The number I'm looking for is the amount of games that he has sat on his couch and watched those other guys play, because they're considerable. So do you think this year is make or break for Luka? Because if Trey's carrying the Hawks, if Donovan on a one ankle is carrying the Jazz, Devin Booker goes all the way to the finals, and Luka's sitting home again, at some point, even though he is your son,
yeah,
I think he's going to have to fall a little bit in this pyramid.
Yeah, so let me address the Luka thing. Because it's true, Luka has never been out of the first round. It's also true, in both playoff series he's played, he's been the best player on the court. He averaged 35 a game in the playoffs last year in a seven-game series, 40% from three. Was his playoff numbers, he already is, I think, like ninth among active players in career 40-point playoff games. He's only played 13 career playoff games, and they've all come with Kawhi and Paul George guarding him. With that said, yeah, if he's one and done in the postseason again, and those other guys go on a deep run, then you have to start to incorporate that. But I think the other is more likely. I think it's more likely that Luka is still in the postseason and the Hawks, Jazz, and Suns are all at home this year. Not missing the postseason.
Wow.
But I think that the Hawks, who's more likely to lose in the first round? Hawks or Mavs? Jazz or Mavs? Suns, we'll see about the Suns. They might have screwed it up because Robert Sarver doesn't want to pay DeAndre Ayton. We'll see how that all works out. So I'm bullish on Luka for a number of reasons. But the other thing, and this last point I'll make, is this is why I get so irritated when people just throw around, oh, he's a top 10 player. You look at those guys on this list. Five of them, by definition, are not top 10 players. Like, the league is so deep as far as at the top level talent that when we start talking about guys like Kyrie or guys like Jason Tatum or even Bradley Beal, like, oh, he's definitely a top 10 guy. No, they're not. In fact, they're not even close to top 10 guys when you really start breaking it down, Jenna.
All right. And once again, apologies to the 474 players that were left off this pyramid. That would have been a four-year project for Nick. Instead, it was just a year and a half. So I'm glad we have this.
No, I did it.
This
they
was
just
great,
said
Nick.
I can't put it on TV. You won't be able to see it, they said.
Yes,
I have the whole league done.
We have 10 hours of programming a week, so we had to just sort of keep that at bay. Back talking the latest Ben Simmons drama in Philadelphia. He's back at practice, but, man, he looks Les Mis. Can the Sixers salvage this situation somehow? We will talk about that next. First things first. First things first, back here with former NBA champ Antoine Walker. Antoine, good morning. We're talking about the ever-evolving Ben Simmons situation / saga / drama saga in Philly. I made that last one up just for effect. The beleaguered superstar was at Sixers practice yesterday. I mean, his body was there. I'm not sure his mind was there. He had what looked like, I don't know, maybe his phone in his pocket, maybe a juice, maybe a monitor. Something was in his pocket during practice. Can't have that. Reportedly didn't take part in the team huddle. Can't do that. Antoine, this situation has a new twist seemingly every single day. Do you think it's salvageable at this point between Ben Simmons and the Sixers?
No, I don't think it is. I think when you look at this situation, and it's disappointing because I really like Ben as a player, and I believe he could be very special. He just has to get over the phobia of shooting a basketball. But the problem with Ben is he's got to understand when he decided to come back, one, the players are not going to be on his side. That's obviously you can see in practice with guys not communicating and not talking to him. They're not going to take his side because they're upset that he did not want to fight through this and come play with them. And said he didn't want to be in Philly anymore. So those guys take that very personal. They wanted to come out and see him. They basically practically were willing to, you know, put their egos aside to invite Ben back. And he kind of turned those guys away. And then the other part to that is I blame the Sixers. You got a guy, you just say you want to bring him in. You keep saying publicly that you want to be a part of the team. First of all, you got to establish some discipline. He has the LSU shirt on. Everybody else has Philly gear on. To me, that already starts a problem. That's the first thing about practice right there. Why do he have the LSU shirt on and not a Philly shirt on? That would bother me right off the bat. When you look around, you look at this practice that he has that. that on. I don't think that's a good president. You can see the lackluster effort. I'm not sure how hard they're going, but it doesn't look like he's very interested in engaging into the team. And then not getting in a huddle is just the ice cream on the cake and let you know that he doesn't really want to be there. But Ben has to understand this. This is the last thing I'll say about it. I played in a sports town in Boston where the fans follow everything. They're very much into you, to everything that the team is doing. They support you 110%. Philly fans are rough. They're very difficult. And when they know that you're not going to, you don't want to be there, they can make it very difficult and tough for Ben on and off the court. And that's what he's setting himself up for. And it's going to be very difficult for him to live and be happy there. So it's a bad situation on both ends of the floor. I think Philly's just going to have to make a decision. I think they got the gun too high for everybody else to put the gun into everybody's head for him. You're going to have to trade this guy, let him move on. It's just not going to work.
I hear you, Twan, and I do think at the end of the day he gets moved at some point. But to answer Jenna's question, is it salvageable? It is salvageable. Again, I don't think it'll end up that way, but it is salvageable. And here's why. Because Ben Simmons, at the end of the day, wants to play basketball. And the Philadelphia 76ers have him locked up for the next 4 years. All right, if Daryl Morey really wants to play hardball, and he has to this point, and say, I am absolutely not trading Ben Simmons, no matter how long it takes, without getting fair or equal value, then Ben Simmons is going to have to come aboard and start playing ball. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Is he going to ruin his career for the next few years because of this? I'm just saying they have the leverage. And as we didn't think Ben would even be in camp, remember? We didn't think Ben would, if he got to camp, we thought he'd have fake an injury. If he didn't fake an injury, we thought he wouldn't play in games. Now, that still remains to be seen. But clearly, he's practicing as if he's going to eventually play in some games. So I just think that if Philly wants to play hardball, Ben is going to have to eventually come aboard. I think what needs to happen is Doc Rivers needs to sit down with Ben face to face and say, look, I get it. You won out. I understand it. I was a player too. All right. But we're getting offers for you, and they're not very good. All right? And we are not going to trade you in a bad trade. So the only way, Ben, if you really want out of here, you've got to go out there and play your best and even show a good attitude to up your trade value. Nick, he's not James Harden. Harden could go ahead and lollygag and play poorly, and everybody knew, he's just doing that in Houston because he wants out. We know his track record. That's not the case with Ben Simmons. There are guys I've talked to in front offices who are like, they wonder, will the mental block that he suffered last year in the playoffs, is that gone? Will that just vanish once he leaves Philly? We saw Markelle Fultz still has that mental block. You know, he's just getting over it in Orlando. So there are questions about Ben that he can only answer on the court, even if he wants to up his trade value, Nick.
That's true. But what's also true is he is far and away the best player that is currently available to be traded for. If you're a team that is trying to improve your team, or a team whose star player at some point wants out and you want to start rebuilding, Philly is going to be your first call because he is the best guy, just like Harden was, by an enormous margin that was available. And now he's not James Harden. There's no question. I'm not comparing them except for the fact that last year, the best guy who was available was Harden. This year, it's Ben. Now, at some point, Dame could come available, and that trumps it by a million miles. Or Bradley Beal could come available, and Beal has more value across the league than Simmons. But because of his age and his contract, he does have more value than his play, certainly in the playoffs, would otherwise give him. But Wilds, I guess I feel differently than Antoine and Broussard in this regard. I think it's already been salvaged. He's there.
I agree.
Did anybody think that when he showed up, he was going to be like, Sixer for life, baby. Let's go. No, he's there. And when the games start, he will try. Now, will he be getting floor burns like he's a scrappy Duke point guard? Probably not. But I do think he's going to be a good player. It's very rare, and I hate to use this comp because he's such a great guy and he's a friend of yours. But the reason what Vince did at the very end of the time in Toronto sticks out is because it's rare. It's guys usually don't do it to that level. And so I think that he knows. And the other thing he has going for him, Wilds, is this. Philly wants to trade him. It's not a situation where they're like, no, we want to bring you back into the fold to keep you for 4 years. They know Ben and Embiid are an awkward fit and always have been. They're just waiting. So I don't think it's salvageable like he's going to finish his contract there. I don't think he's going to finish the year there. They just needed to get him back in the building. They got him back in the building. So I think it's already been salvaged, in my opinion.
Okay, I'll tell you what else is being salvaged. Me and my relationship with Vince Carter went from like, hey, kind of work together at ESPN to friends. So thank you, Nick. It's probably too much, problem. But I'll take it. I like it. Like, hey, it's me, Wild. I was like, hey, I think I remember you, but now we're friends. Sure. Hey, Vince, see you soon. We're friends now. Okay, real quick. I politely reject all of this, all of it. I don't care about the practice. I don't care about putting his hand in. I don't think it was actually his phone, and I don't care. He did all of his warm-ups in sweatpants anyways, wearing sweatpants now, and that practice looked pretty weak as it is. And I think it was a different 76ers jersey, although I would like him to show support for their struggling football team, Antoine. Here's the thing, I'll push you back on Nick. I don't think he's going to get out there and lollygag around. I think the biggest issue is going to be those home games with those Sixers fans. You need to play 100% or you're going to end up playing even worse than you did in the playoffs. You have to go full steam ahead. And Broussard, we're like, wonder if the mental block is still there. For the 1,000,000th time, this is why he should have played in the Olympics. He didn't play in the Olympics, even though Tybalt played in the Olympics, even though all the guys were like, come play with us, we'll be a supportive environment. He's like, no, I'll work on my game. So what do we see? Some sweaty sweatpants. That's it. So it better be gone, because we heard the whole time that he's going to work on his game instead of playing the Olympics like everybody else did to get better. So he's got to go to Philly, play hard, and I do think it's salvageable, since he was like, don't fly out in the private jet, and all of a sudden he's there, granted, in sweatpants.
Well, look, I'll say this, and I want to throw this to Twine. What I saw in this, granted, it's a small little portion of the practice that we saw, but his attitude, his indifference, that can be a problem. Twine, correct me if I'm wrong. In the locker room, it's your second best player. It's not a role player. Your second best player being completely indifferent, completely disengaged as far as his attitude, that's going to be a problem that could drag that locker room down. Twine, do you agree with that from your experience in the league?
Oh, without question. One thing about this, especially in Ben's situation playing in Philly, you want your teammates supporting you. Because right now he's not going to have the fan support early on. He's going to have to play exceptionally well to get the fans back behind him. And he's going to need his teammates to support him to get through that time. We just saw him did not want to come back to Philly because he couldn't take criticism from Doc Rivers and different guys once the season was over. So it's going to be tough for Ben not to be able to engage with his teammates and have their support. And also, Chris, let's all be realistic, too. Ben Simmons is back because he saw how much money he was going to miss. This is not salvageable.
Right.
He saw how much money he was going to miss. That's really the reason why he got in that locker room.
Well, agreed. Right,
maybe,
with that.
But again, not going to be easy when he doesn't have the support of the best player on the team in Joel Embiid, and you know that relationship is fractured. Let's get back to some Monday Night Football. Sean McDermott gave Josh Allen the green light on 4th and 1, said, "Go win it for me, buddy." Was it the right call to go for it?
How'd that work
out
for
you? First things first. Not amazing. I'm not sure they regret it. Hey, tonight, Game 4 of the ALCS as Jose Altuve and the Astros take on Xander Bogaerts and the Boston Red Sox. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Back to our top story, a little Monday Night Football. Bills and Titans, and Derrick Henry had himself a night. He came into the game leading the NFL in rushing. He only played 5 games so far. Last night, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns, his 5th straight 100-yard rushing game. In fact, Last night, I'm going to throw more stats at you. I'm a stat thrower. Last night, Henry's sixth game with more than 130 rushing yards and three touchdowns. How about that? Just too shy of catching Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Brown. Wow. Yeah, it's really solid. Look at that list.
Here's Sean Alexander.
Nick, so let's talk about Derrick Henry. Who's more deserving of MVP through 6 weeks, Henry or the guy who came into this week as the favorite, Bills quarterback Josh Allen?
Oh, Jenna, you know my answer here. And, you know, it's good for the show, the audience, and my colleagues that the Chiefs have been disappointing this year. Or else we'd look at this NFL season and be like, my God, has Nick been wrong about anything? Because a week ago, tried to tell you guys when you were making top five MVP lists, where's Derrick Henry? Why are we not talking about Derrick Henry? And then he goes head-to-head with the MVP favorite, which, by the way, speaks to the power of Al Michaels. Al Michaels just says it, and it becomes true. Good for him. God bless. Nobody is saying Josh Allen's MVP. Al Michaels says, like, Josh Allen's the MVP. And they went head-to-head last night, and Derrick Henry made the winning play, and Josh Allen literally fell on his face trying to make a winning play for his team. Little context here on Derrick Henry. In his last five games, he has 725 yards and 10 touchdowns. On the season, he has 783 yards. Second best is 523. He has 10 touchdowns on the year. Second best is 5 rushing touchdowns. Total touchdowns, the second best is 7 for Cooper Kupp. Yards from scrimmage, because Henry has got about 140 receiving yards as well. Derrick Henry's at 921. Second best is Jonathan Taylor at 682. And third place is Devontae Adams. So he leads the league in everything. Conversely, Josh Allen is 8th in yards, 16th in yards per attempt, 5th in touchdowns, good for you, 10th in rating, and 21st in completion percentage. You cannot make a credible MVP top five without having Derrick Henry in it. And if you don't have him in it, Broussard, it's because you're saying running back's ineligible. Conversely, you can't make a credible MVP top five that does include Josh Allen. Because you have Kyler, you have Lamar, you have Dak, you have Brady, you have Henry. And if we want to add somebody, add Aaron Rodgers. That's at 6. And then we can start having the discussion of, well, is Justin Herbert still there? Is Josh Allen there? But the top five is pretty unequivocal. Right now, I think Derrick Henry has as strong of a case as anyone in that top five for MVP. Josh Allen's not in the same neighborhood, particularly after last night.
All right, well, first of all, Nick, if we were at the start of the show and I just had 2 hours solo, I'd list all the things you've been wrong on. So, but we don't, so you're lucky. We only a few minutes, so I won't go there. All right, but I'm with you on this. I think it's close. I think it's much closer than you are saying. But I would give Derrick Henry the slight, ever so slight edge over Josh Allen in the MVP race. Derrick Henry is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record for yards in a season. He'd become the first 2,200-yard running back we've ever seen. Now, he wouldn't do it in 16 games, but he would do it in 17 if he stays on this pace. He also is on pace to tie LaDainian Tomlinson's all-time record for scoring rushing touchdowns in a season at 28. So he's doing some historic stuff. Here's the problem. When Eric Dickerson broke the record 2,105 yards in 1984. He didn't win the MVP. It was Dan Marino, yes, a quarterback, who became the first to throw for 5,000 yards. So I'll give Henry the edge over Allen, but this is kind of like arguing who's going to be the fourth seed in the West, Utah or Phoenix? You know, which one of those? Utah or Dallas? Like, that's where we're at, because neither of these guys is near the top. And I would say that I don't know what he can do to win it unless there's if no quarterback establishes himself right now. I'd have Tom Brady, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, and probably even Matthew Stafford ahead of Derrick Henry. Now, to your point, and I'll throw it to Wilds, Josh Allen is 7th of the quarterbacks. I mentioned 5. I'll throw in Justin Herbert as well, and then Josh Allen. So to that point, he's 7th in the quarterbacks. So I would put Henry ahead of Allen, But right now, neither of them is that close to the top, Wilds.
I agree with you, Broussard. Here's the thing about Derrick Henry. If he breaks the rushing record in 17 games, no one is going to care. We're going to act like we care, but we're all going to be like, eh. If he breaks it in 16 games, I think we'll be interested, and then he can make a real case for it, especially as we start ending the season, we start to pick up more and more MVP talk. But if it's 17 games, I'm not buying it. And Nick, when you say especially for the end of the game, are you saying that if Josh Allen picked up 1 yard, that his MVP candidacy would still be valid? So was he literally 1 yard short that you booted him out of the MVP race because he fell short on 1 yard trying to get this first down and win the game?
No, what I'm saying is I didn't think he was in the top five before the game. And after a game that you lose as a 6-point favorite because you fell on your face and couldn't pick up 18 inches, that matters. Like, this is not a, it's not a basketball season with 82 games. It's not a baseball season with 162 games. This is a football season with 17 games. This was a big matchup between two huge favorites to win their divisions, could have playoff seeding implications, and you fell on your face. Not figuratively, literally, you fell down on your face and your team lost the game. That has to matter. Just like, if we could show the third down play, if this third down play, he catapults himself into the end zone, or at least gets the first down, then this morning the conversation is Josh Allen's running away with the MVP award. Now, it would be silly, but yeah, sometimes individual plays matter. I mean, what got it going was the Josh Allen hurdle over Legarius Sneed, even though he had played terribly the first 2 weeks of the season. Broussard, where I disagree with you guys is that Derrick Henry has no shot. First of all, if he's on pace right now, if it were a 16-game season, to come up like 28 yards short of the all-time rushing record. So it's not like he wouldn't be anywhere close to Eric Dickerson's record if it were a regular season. Right. He would be, the previous season. But the other is, Adrian Peterson won an MVP running for 2,000 yards. We've seen guys do it, and usually, Broussard, it's guys, it's like, well, he had to do everything for his team. Doesn't Derrick Henry check those boxes? Like, the Titans go as he goes, Broussard.
I'll give you that, but see, here's the thing. If a quarterback has a spectacular season, he's going to win it over the spectacular running back. Right now, Tom Brady's on pace to throw for 6,000 yards. If he throws for 6,000 yards and they go 14-3, you don't think Brady's getting the MVP? And Lamar does more, as great as Henry is, Lamar does more for his team than Derrick Henry does. Slightly, but I give that edge to Lamar. So it's going to be a quarterback, right, Nick. But Derek, I love you. He's awesome. Throwback.
We got to go. Undisputed starts right now.